Well, church, it's good to be with you. My name is Austin. I am, again, I said one of the pastors here, and we're in this series called What Jesus Did, because as disciples of Jesus, we really want to ask that question, literally, as if we are apprentices of Jesus. Sometimes we can know a lot about Jesus. We can hear and read what Jesus did, but sometimes we forget that that is a call for us as disciples of Jesus to do in the same sense. And so as we continue to work through our apprenticeship and discipleship to Jesus, we want to remind ourselves each week that our discipleship happens in three different unique rhythms. And they are to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And so this year we're talking about this idea, what does Jesus do, and then what is our call in that? And so this morning, one of the things that Jesus did that used uniquely in Scripture that he called us to was to visitation. This practice of visitation that you can see that happens sometimes when you have older parents in life. But one of the things that I got to do was to be a chaplain. A part of our seminary requirement is for us to spend a season in a hospital as a chaplain. And one of the things that you were asked to do and tasked to do by the nurses was to go into various rooms where these nurses believe that you could bring some type of care and healing to them. And the places that I was in charge of and where my departments were the ICU, the ER, the NICU, and the cardiac room. And I kept thinking about this. What care as a chaplain, what healing can I bring into those units? There is deep trauma and deep wounding that I'm standing in the back sometimes going, why am I here? What is my role in this place? And so I remember as I talked and learned and was charged to go in to sit with people who are experiencing deep, deep trauma. Sometimes sudden in the ER coming in, their world's being turned upside down. I sat with people who are dealing with diagnosis that is going to be lifetime, that they're going to have to deal with chronically. I walked into a room where people were losing family members. Some had family and some didn't have family. And my role changed depending on if there were people there that loved them or if I was the only one left in the room and no one showed up. And I realized in this moment that I was being sent into these rooms with nothing more than a Bible, hands to pray, and a body that was willing. And that was all that I was sent in there to. And then after that, this is the hard thing. It's like you come out of the room and then you're required as a chaplain to chart. And so you ask this question, what did you do? I sat next to them. I asked good questions. They responded. We prayed. Done. And I'm just sitting here going, what in the world is our participation as followers of Jesus, especially as he and we are called to walk into some places where there is deep wounding, deep trauma, and bring hope, care, and healing? And so that's our question today, is that in us, as we look as disciples of Jesus, what we are called to do is that the way of love is just the practice of showing up. That just in the same way that I was a chaplain, that you and I are called, in the way of Jesus, is to practice the art of showing up, which is the way of love. And so if you'll turn with me, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. And if you have your Bible in front of you, whether it's physical or digital, I always encourage you to open that up, to read it with us, as well as we will be just in this verse, and we'll be jumping around a little bit. So it says this. Starting in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit at his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put his sheep on the right and he will put his goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. As we prepare for the word, would you join us in a corporate moment of silent prayer as we prepare our hearts for the Lord? So will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see you? Would you give us ears to hear you? Would you give us a heart open to receive your love and a mind willing to hear what you have for us today? We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things that we see right away when we talk about visitation, when we talk about whether that's the sick or the imprisoned, one of the things that you see right there at the beginning is that you just see people. And the reality is you don't have to be impressive. You just have to be present. This is so unique to this. He was calling out just people. These weren't the trained or the untrained. These were people. And I feel like that as I walked into the room, as you talk to people, as you sit down with them, you are called just to be you. Whether you have a training or a title in a specific practice like I did as being a chaplain and being a pastor, one of the things that I ritually feel as I go in and sit with people in these spaces and places is that quickly I move from title to person. I move from all the things that might cause me and allow me to be in this room that would give me access as a pastor, whether I worked in a chaplaincy or when I walk into this room. My title allows me in spaces, in places. But when you get into the room, all of those titles, all of the accolades which allow you to be there, fade away. The person just cares that you're in the room. The person just cares that you see them. And you notice them. You meet them where they are at. You love them. You care for them. You realize that in them your attention is fully focused. Not so much all about the things that are around the world that are happening in the spaces, places, what might be happening in your life. What it is focusing on them. And as we get into this space and place of what it look to be in there, there's two words that I want us to focus in at the end of that passage we talked about is that Jesus is looking at just regular people. And he said, I was sick. Understand that Jesus is talking about, I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. There's two words, there's two phrases in there that are incredibly important, that you looked after me and you visited me. I don't know how that hits you, but it doesn't require you to bring anything other than yourself. The primary requirement to fulfill visitation is you, is me. That our process of doing what Jesus did isn't asking us to go to Bible school, isn't asking us to complete courses that we have done, that we do here at Pine Lake. It's not asking you to do anything other than to be someone who is fully in love with Jesus Christ, that desires to become more like him and to do what he did. So you step into the places and you do as Jesus did. This is what happens. Because often when you walk into the room and you're looking at people who are sick or in prison, whatever phrase, whatever script you had as you walk into the room completely falls to the wayside. Because your words will never be enough. But your presence is more than is needed. This is incredibly important as we understand as our roles as disciples of Jesus. We are never going to be Jesus. We are Jesus' apprentices. We are to look and act like and talk like Jesus did. But we walk in the room, we don't have our prescripted desires to bring healing and care. We are called to just bring ourselves. And if we are going to bring ourselves to and do what Jesus said, here's the truth. If we are being the way of love, if we are being the embodiment of love as Jesus, the Lord in love calls us to give away what we often hold on to as our most valuable resources, our time and our energy. These are two things that are going to be the requirement to do what Jesus did. And they are honestly, let's be honest about it. There are, especially here where we call ourselves in context, on the east side of Seattle, these are our most valuable resources. This is your most valuable commodity. If there's any settlers contain in here, you don't sell your wood or your brick. You don't do it. Like, these are the things that you do. And I remember walking in as a chaplaincy, this was tested at us all the time. Because in certain rooms we had to go into, we had to garment up with standard PPE. For some of that, that means masks and gloves. For some of those rooms that we had to walk in, mask, gloves, and a hairnet. For others, it meant a full PPE suit. It meant putting on the mask, the hairnet, the gloves, the top, the bottoms, the shoe, like little, like, slipper shoe things. And to walk in, and with glasses, to walk into the place and then sit in this with people. It was going to require you as a chaplain to decide, are you willing to walk into these rooms that require more of you? Or you, like some of us kind of battled, are you going to play paper, rock, scissors just to not visit this person? I say that and it might be like, oh, that's pretty immature. But how many of us in the place where it requires us large commitments, large efforts for you to put on the full garment of everything that you need to in order to go see someone? It might be far out of your way. It might be outside of your comfort zone. Something that causes you, that you deal with, was you're in your own trauma. The large commitments, the large energy suckers. Are these are the places that you're willing to walk into? Or are you someone who wants the ask from the Holy Spirit, Lord, can it just be small commitments, small energy drain? And that's not asking to shame. It's to asking us to be aware. Because there's times when the Holy Spirit is going to move in your life and move in you and ask you things that are both small requirements. And then he's going to ask you things that are very large and seem out of your bounds or your control or your energy or your time. And the question is what are you going to do when the Holy Spirit moves in your life and asks of you to do what Jesus did? Are we willing to part with our time and our energy? There's two things that in repetition in Scripture are really important. And not only repetition in Scripture are important to notice, but they're also to notice the differences and the similarities. And in the text, the king replies twice. Later on in Scripture, later on in this passage, it says this: "The king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Note the highlight: that you did whatever you did for me, or the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me. And the next text he talks about later says he will reply again: "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me." The highlight in there is whatever you did and in whatever you didn't do. What we call this in the church, these are commission and omission. Things that we do and the things that we don't do. And those things that we don't do could be just something that we're just not listening to the Holy Spirit. Or we are literally just unaware of where Jesus is calling us, unaware to the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives. And one of those things that we do is that Jesus talks about here is for people who know him, people who are following Jesus, who claim to be disciples and apprentices of Jesus, there's two things that divide us: things we did do and the things we didn't do. And for some of us, that feels weird. Because we walk in this place of like, I thought we were saved by faith and grace alone. And while that is true, 100% true, there isn't that divide so much of you're earning your salvation. But this, and what Jesus is telling to his disciples as a parable, is just saying, from your love from me is an outflowing of what you do for others around you. This, as easy as I can put it, is a fulfillment of the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything that you have, flowing into loving your neighbor as yourself. And so one of the things that I wanted just not to tell you and to preach with you, but I want to share some stories of a ministry that we have going in. So I'm going to invite my two friends, Beth and Janine, up. And they are going to share a little bit about their journey of doing what Jesus did when it came to this visitation and the practice of showing up. And so I'm going to ask them to share a little bit about, we have a ministry called Echo Glen, and they're going to share a little bit more about their experience there. So the mics are on, and you know, whoever wants to go first.
I'll go first.
Yeah,
Beth. All right. So for the last few years, I've been really involved with the Valentine Project that we've been doing here at Pine Lake Covenant Church, making Valentines for the teens at Echo Glen. And here, all along, they've just been these invisible people, these invisible teens that I'm making Valentines for.
Beth,
I know.
Is Echo Glen? For those that aren't familiar,
okay. Echo Glen is a maximum security facility for teens who have gotten in trouble. And they live there, they go to school there, and they are... You know, it's a prison, and they're there until they're able to go home. So, enough information?
Thank you so much.
So over the years, I was thinking, here I'm making these Valentines, and in my mind, I was thinking, gosh, it'd be nice to know who these are for. And then I retired. And I started thinking, I'm a retired teacher, and I would really like to go and volunteer in some schools and work with children. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, well, wait a minute. yeah, you're really good with children, but you have a desire to get to know these teens better. Maybe going to Echo Glen and volunteering there might be an opportunity for you. And I thought, wow, this is really, you know, out of my zone. But I like teens. They're good. They're just big. They're just big elementary kids, you know.
Yeah.
And so anyway, my first opportunity to volunteer was last week, and I went with June and Janine. There were a group of people from Friends of Echo Glen who were there, and we were assigned a cabin to go to. And when we got there, you have to go through a screening, and you it's like, you know, being at the airport. And I kind of thought, you know, no big deal, this is cool. And then we got to the cabin, and we walked in, and immediately there were four huge security guards, totally decked out with everything you can imagine, you know. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is serious. I mean, this is a real thing. And then the cabin we were assigned to was a group of boys, and the boys walked in, and they had on their orange jumpsuits and their, you know, plastic slide-on shoes, and my heart just sank. I thought, I just said a silent prayer. I thought, oh my goodness, Lord, please just give me the, you know, whatever, the courage, the whatever I need, the words I need to work with these boys today, because it just really, really hit. Ooh. This is the real thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, we had a wonderful, wonderful art project that we did with them. And the young man that sat down at my table, he is probably a graffiti artist, but he specializes in old English lettering. And we were painting bags that were going to be delivered to the homeless down in the Seattle area. And he wrote in this gorgeous, gorgeous, old English print, shine bright, and he put this beautiful sun on it. He was just very artistic. And we had this wonderful opportunity to just talk a little bit, and I complimented him, and even though it was, you know, I didn't really know exactly what to expect, it turned out to be a positive event.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. Janine, tell us a little bit more.
Okay. Thank you so much. We had. I wanted to note that the teenagers have the option to spend time with us, so they're self-selecting the people. They can do another activity if they want to. This particular time that Beth came is the first time I've come when the teenagers have been on lockdown before we arrived, so everything was very serious. And then just the kids who wanted to be with us were able to come out. They usually have like a basketball option or something else too. Yeah. And sometimes there are good connections that are made, and you know, it's just like any other relationships though. These are people with their own things that are going on in their lives. So I wanted to mention some good experiences. June came a couple months ago, and she was sitting at this table doing this art project with this one teenage boy. He was a really quiet one. You know, some of them are really, they try to one-up each other and like they're trying to be the loudest and like, you know, this guy was just absorbing, spending time with June the whole time. And it was just a lovely experience for her. And that was a good one. Cece came, then too. She had two or three boys at her table. And man, she just made conversation with those guys the whole time. And I asked her later what she was talking about. And she said it was just get to know you questions. What's your favorite color? Just going like that. Wamimo went to the teen girls, and she was told that one of the teen girls was not in a good mood. Probably, you know, just be a little careful around her. And it turned out Wamimo really connected with her. And they just, it wasn't like that. You know, they had a lovely time. And she's looking forward to going back and seeing her again.
Yeah.
So those are good. And then, you know, it's people. They have different moods or whatever. And so walking in last Thursday, I just saw a lot more of the culture that was there with the boys. More trying to kind of one up each other.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of teenage language, so that
the brain rot. Yeah.
So I could not understand what they were saying. And every once in a while, like one of the boys would be like, oh, "You can't say that around them." and then the guard would come over, like, "Nope, that's a nope, nope, none of that." And then also, what are they going to talk to us about? So they have school, they have, you know, some activities. They also, you know, their bedrooms are cinder block cells. You know, it's just with a little window and like hardly anything in the room for their own safety and safety of others. What are they going to tell us about? So what I noticed this last time was all the stories. I mean, imagination, making up. A teen I was sitting with at this table was telling me all about growing up in Georgia, riding the horses. That never happened.
Yeah.
That never happened. So it's just, there's a little bit of like, okay, you know, I'm being played, you know, I'm like, you know, but what I'm getting out of it is, I just need to constantly, like, I just need to remove myself completely. Like, no, there's no self here. I am there. I am doing what, God has asked me to do. And I just, need to, like, be praying, remove myself. I'm a vessel for you, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, guide me in my conversation. I am here. I am listening. I am giving you attention, and you are important, and you are a creation of the Lord. And, like, I just, you know, there, it's, you know, he knows all the good that's in you, you know, and I just need to look at the person like that and not think about them trying to pull one over on us with whatever they're saying that we can't understand or whatever and just remove myself. I am here, Lord.
Yeah.
I speak through me. Do your actions through me.
Yeah.
So. That's amazing. Thank you, Beth and Janine for... You can stay. Okay. You can stay. One of the things that I think of about as we talked this week about it, as we kind of wrap up our time together, the one thing that I am consistently reminded by you two and reminding in scripture, and it's the battling of what I assume or think I should be doing as a follower, a disciple of Jesus, and then what actually God is calling us to do. And one of the things that I just continue to be amazed at our congregation and of you two is the reality of just showing up so that love can show out of you. And the two things that I really, in our text this morning that matches the stories and the experience that you have is that God has called them and us to ordinary faithfulness so that God can be an extraordinary in everything else. He's not asking you to flip that and for you to be extraordinary, to know all the lingo, to know exactly who you're meeting and how to connect with them, how to do all the things that you're doing, but all you've asked for you is to be ordinary, to be faithful in the small things, and scripture talks about it all the time, being faithful in the small things, and God will show up in all the other spaces and places, that he will show up and do more than what you can even bring to the table. We see that all through scripture, is that God calls us to bring what we have. And for most of us, when we talk about visitation, it is only what we have is ourselves. All we have is us. To be faithful in showing up, showing that love can enter the room and that God's extraordinary then love then fills the rest of the space. And so when you go out in the places that the Holy Spirit is going to ask and call you to, maybe you've heard these stories and you're like, I want to be a part of the ministry of Echo Glen. Maybe I want to just be a part of walking into rooms where people just need someone to be present so that they're not alone. Whatever the Holy Spirit is asking you to do, in the same way that Jesus did, he's asking you to be ordinary in your faithfulness. Ordinary in just showing up in who you are. So that love can fill the room. That you don't overshadow what is happening. That you step back. That we become less. So that God can become more. This is what we're asked of. To do what Jesus did. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, you are active in this space. You have filled this room. And you are not just filling this room so we might know you and feel you. But God, you want to personally speak to us. So God, what are you saying through the Holy Spirit to us this morning? What are the ways that you're calling us to be a representation of your love? Holy Spirit, where in our lives have we been storing up, holding back our resources when you're calling us to share them? Where in our lives, Holy Spirit, are you calling us to share your love? Holy Spirit, I ask that you continue to speak. You are not bound by these moments, but you go with us and you abide in us. Holy Spirit, you are our God and we are your people. We ask this in your name. Amen.